Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength4thejourney.com. And this is radio program number 67, if you're listening by shortwave radio. Tonight I have a good friend here that lives in Panama now, Dr. Daniel Daves. And we're going to discuss some things tonight regarding a dream that he had. He had a couple of dreams. One dream, we did our program a while back, and this one, I felt really impressed that he needed to be back on the program to discuss his second dream. So, Daniel, thanks for joining us.
It's sure good to be here with you today.
Thanks. You know, one of the things that's really been interesting is that many people have been having prophetic dreams lately, and they're not very comfortable or comforting dreams. Some of the dreams have been very disturbing, actually, in the times that we're living in, and I think God is trying to wake up His people to maybe what's coming, and part of the problem is that nobody wants to wake up out of their spiritual dream to wake up to reality of what God is trying to give them in a real dream. But tell us a little bit about some of your dreams and some of what the Lord's been putting on your heart lately, and share with us what's on
your
heart.
Okay, I sure will. And if you don't mind, in a moment, I've got a clip where we could have the people go with me into the dream that we're going to talk about today.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, okay. So we know that Amos 3, verse 7 says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing His plan to His servants, the prophets." And we know that people all around the world, not just in the United States and Canada, but all over the world, they're having dreams and visions and visitations from angels. Things are happening in the realm of the spirit where God is warning multitudes of people. And we know that the spirit or the gift of prophecy is available to all believers. And so God is using prophecy to say, "Wake up, I'm getting ready to do something," or He's saying, "Warning, something is getting ready to happen, and I want my people to be out in front of it," just like when He came to Joseph and said, "Get up, take the child out of the city now."
Yes.
Why now? Well, it doesn't matter why now. It just so happened that they just missed the blades of the soldiers by hours.
Yes.
By being on time and being obedient to that prophetic voice of God.
That's right. And this is... you know, the timing is everything. And I know that when we left the United States, the Lord gave me a very clear word from a pastor of ours. And he said that you have to be where I tell you to be, when I tell you to be there. That there is a divine destiny of a coordinated events of time and place. And one of the worst things you don't want to be is in the wrong place at the wrong time. You want to be in the right place at the right time. Because those were God's appointments are. That's where His plan of His future is for us. And if you miss those divine destiny and those appointed times and places, you miss your timing, your purpose, the plan of God. I can tell you, almost on a daily basis, there are people that cross my path that are divinely coordinated events. But if I wasn't where I was supposed to be, I would miss those appointments because I'm in the wrong place. And I'm afraid that many people right now, even listening, they feel uncomfortable because they're not in the right place. Maybe they're not in the right place physically. They might not be in the right place spiritually, but they're not in the right place, and there's an uncomfortable feeling they have on the inside, like something's not right.
Absolutely, and we can go straight to the scripture to talk about what you have just said, and that is Psalm 91, the Psalm 91 protection of God. I think so many people have been lulled to sleep thinking that, well, wherever I am because I believe in Jesus, then this little bubble follows me around and God protects me. But that is not what the Bible says. The scripture says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And for you and I to dwell in that secret place, He has to first of all reveal to us where that secret place is. And second of all, I have to get to that secret place. I have to get into position. Psalm 91 is not a place that comes to me. Psalm 91 is a place that I go to in obedience.
Wow. That's good. And many times the sad thing is that the secret place remains secret for so many people.
Yes.
They never find it. They never really search for it. You know, it says that if you search for me with all your heart, I will be found. You know, it's the thing is that we have to hunger and thirst after righteousness in order to be filled. We have to have that desire on the inside of us to find that place, to be under the shadow of the Almighty.
That's right.
That is the key place of safety right now for all of us. It's not in a necessarily a physical location. It's in a place of obedience, that we're where we're supposed to be. Where is God telling us to go? What is He saying for us to do? And the timing is critical. It's just like going to the airport. You know, you might have a plane that is going to another nation, to another city, but you know what? If you don't get there on the right time, that plane leaves without you. It doesn't sit there and wait, oh, Joe Blow hasn't made it to the gate yet. Let's hold the plane for him. You know what? I'm sorry, but the plane's door is shutting, and this fellow's missed his flight. And that's the way it is with God. You know, if you think that we have this grace that runs forever, there's a timing of God that if you miss that timing, you better hope for plan B. And plan B ain't as good as plan A.
That's right. I can't tell you how many people that I've had email me and say, Dr. Daves, what do I do? I'm trying to hear from God, but the heavens seem to be as brass. And I'd like to address that just for a second. Are the heavens like brass to you? Are you not hearing from God? Are you seeking and searching for Him, but He's not speaking, or there seems to be a blockade between the two of you? If that's the case, I promise you, God is not hiding from you. He's not hiding His voice from you, but it's important that we hear from Him, and it's not His job to unclog the tube. It's our job to unclog the line. And so I want to highly recommend to you, if you're listening to my voice right now, and the heavens seem to be as brass, and because they are, in the United States, the weeds, the trees, the defilement of sin is growing up over the United States. You turn your television on for 5 minutes, and defilement enters the room.
That's right.
And it hardens our hearts, and it keeps us from hearing from God. I want to declare to you that you need to search Him with all of your heart. He promised, if you'll search with all, not part of your heart, not at the end of the day, search with all of your heart, He will be found by you. And if you will knock and keep knocking, seek and keep seeking, ask and keep asking, the door will be open to you. But the key is all of your heart. And I want to commission you, turn your television set off, go on a fast with God, get the media, turn your telephone off. Get the smartphone out of your pocket. Quit looking at Facebook every 5 minutes and get with God. Return to Him with all of your heart, and He will speak clearly to you, and you will have no question where you are to be, what you are to do. And I guarantee you, Andrew, you and I both know God is moving His chess pieces into place.
That's right.
And if you plan on being anything more than a pawn in this chess match, you have to get with God, because He's made you a king. He's made you a knight. He's made you bigger pieces in this game than just a little pawn that's going to get devoured at the first wave. So don't settle for less. Get a hold of God and find out what He has for you, as He wants to raise you up to make a difference in this age.
That's right. You know, if I can give one other counsel on really getting to a place where you can hear God's voice. One of the best times that I hear God's voice is early in the morning before the sun comes up. And it's a sacrifice on our part to get up and roll out of bed, or just get in a place where you can just hear and just say, God, I want to hear You. I need some instructions right now. I don't feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be spiritually, physically, whatever it may be. But, you know, it seems like God answers prayers when people got to a point where they cried out to God. And that crying out to God is a place of desperation. When you get to a place of desperation, that's when God shows up. And I think if you're just playing games with God, God's going to play games with you too. You know, you may not. This is a time to get serious. And this is why some of these prophetic dreams that are happening right now around the world, not just us. I've had some very prophetic dreams recently too. But this is a time to take things very seriously. And one of the things about that night time is it seems like the Lord, many times in the Old Testament to the New, He visits people in the nighttime hour with their true dreams. I encourage people just to, if you kind of think you're hearing from God, get a notebook out. Start to write down, you know, what is He saying to me? And you may just have thoughts running through your mind. Maybe, wow, that seems interesting. Where'd that thought come from? Well, I can guarantee it wasn't you when you wake up in the morning. You can't remember what you were thinking. You know, God's trying to speak to you. So get a notepad out and write down what the Lord, you feel like as those thoughts are, and you're, you know, that my God may be answering some of your questions, or he may be trying to speak to you. So, but the dreams are important right now to take seriously. And one of the things that all of us sometimes do wrong with the dream is sometimes we misinterpret the dream. So it's not only the dream that's important, but in getting a divinely inspired interpretation. What are you saying, Lord, through this dream? And so give us, I tell you what, I think this might be a good time just to let's play the dream. And
now when we do, I want you to know that we cloaked my voice and almost did. We made it very interesting for the young crowd is what we did. So we kind of cloaked it like an anonymous video. And if they ever watch the video on YouTube, they'll see the video of us of divers and going into caves and all of this. But it's a very interesting sounding video that you're about to play here.
All right, so here you go.
In 2008, I had two dreams that I believe were from God. Countless others have confirmed that these dreams are a true forecast and warning of the future. The first dream was confirmed in exact detail by a non-related Hollywood motion picture that would be released 4 years later. This dream is nearing its full completion. Yet, dream two reveals a horrible end that is coming and is almost here. Now, in the second dream, I was scuba diving deep under the ocean, and I was beside Team Obama. We all had full face masks so everyone could communicate verbally. We were retrofitted for deep water diving, and we had headlamps on, along with a handheld flashlight in each of our hands. President Obama led the team into a deep, dark underwater cave. Now, I had an urgent sense inside of me, knowing that I was leaving the open water and going into a very dangerous place. You see, cave diving is much more dangerous because you can't just go up to get to the surface in an emergency. Now, this is why I had great concern. We were going deeper into danger and not up, as I felt we should be going. Team Obama had clipboards, and they were making calculations and scripting the orders while President Obama was talking to them. As we stopped in the middle of this huge cave, with the opening of the cave at our backs, we viewed a series of dark, round tunnels in the rock. Now, these tunnels were pitch black, dark. One of them was filled with sediment, and I knew that we would only be able to feel our way through this tunnel with zero visibility if we decided to go into that one. Other tunnels were small, some were dark with different levels of clarity. I knew that this cave and these tunnels had never been navigated by a president before, and this president would be the first ever to venture into these depths of darkness and danger. President Obama finally made a choice to take his team into a large, dark, totally clear tunnel with no sediment floating in the waters. There was no light at the end of this tunnel, and no one knew for sure what was inside of the tunnel. When he pointed and gave the command, "Let's go into this one," I became very, very concerned, and absolute fear and panic started rushing through my body. We were going into a very, very dark and dangerous place, at great risk of the loss of life. Suddenly, the voice that came to me as if it were from God shouted at me loudly and with great authority. The voice said,
"Get away from him. Get away from him now."
I remained suspended in the water, shocked, watching Team Obama swim towards the black hole. I was approximately 50 feet from the mouth of the cave, and suddenly a huge earthquake began to shake the cave. Huge boulders and rock came crashing down around the mouth of the cave and totally sealed it off. Both I and Team Obama looked at the mouth of the cave in total shock and dismay, with the understanding that we were sealed off from humanity, that we would die in that sealed-off cave. The only way forward would be through the deep, dark tunnel with the remaining oxygen that we had in our tanks. It was then that I woke up gasping for air in my bed.
Wow, that's a very alarming dream. I think I would have woke up gasping for air too. What do you make of that, Daniel? What do you think is the Lord saying to that dream?
I have studied and studied and sought God and prayed over this dream so many times. Matter of fact, I had the dream back in 2008, as I had said. And so it's been years since the dream, but I really feel led very strongly at this time to get this dream out. That's why we now are putting this video out, and we're talking on radio about the dream, because for the first time in history, our president, from Team Obama in the dream, he's making critical decisions that I think no U.S. president has ever made in the history of the United States. Mm-hmm. And just like in the dream, he was about to go into a dark tunnel that no president had ever gone into before. And that tunnel was going to cause an earthquake. It was going to cause a reaction by God himself to close off the past, or close off the pathway out to supposed safety. Mm-hmm. So, and what I'm talking about right now, anyway, is President Obama, or the Team Obama, not just him, but the entire team, they have declared war against Israel. And the scripture is clear. You know, you don't touch my anointed, don't touch my nation. If you curse Israel, you are cursed. If you bless Israel, you're blessed.
Well, explain how you said something, they've declared war. I think something you said to me the other day that was very interesting is that the Department of Justice or Department of Defense declassified very top secret documents and documentation revealing the nuclear whereabouts and the capabilities that Israel has. And right. You said to me, you said that is, in a sense, a declaration of war when you betray your allies, your friends, and expose them to the enemy. That is as good as a declaration of war.
It really is. And you don't go and declassify top secret information that is keeping a nation safe from their enemies who would love to annihilate that nation. And that's exactly what we did. We handed their top secret information over to their enemies to let them know, here's where the nuclear silos are, here's the capacity, here's how many they have, here's what it looks like. We just declared war on Israel. And not only that, then now we are making movements with Iran, their arch enemy, who has stated repeatedly that they want to annihilate and wipe off the face of the earth the nation of Israel. So we are giving concessions and giving them the capacity to create a nuclear bomb. Now, I don't know all the details of that, of this deal that has been made between the president and Iran, but we know that Congress is supposed to ratify this thing. The Senate is supposed to ratify all treaties with a vote. But John Kerry just said that they don't have a problem with Congress voting on it as long as it doesn't stop Obama's agenda. You know, so really, this third branch, or this branch of government, is being sidelined for a treaty-making individual, you know, executive branch.
Yeah.
This is very, very dangerous stuff. This is a president making a decision to go into a very dark hole that no president, no nation's ever gone in. We've never gone into this type of situation before. And what puts the fear of God into me that is that in my dream, when he made that decision, the voice of God came to me and said, "Get away from him. Get away from him now." And I sat there, hung suspended in the water, shocked with this voice and watching them heading into this dark tunnel. And I was just paralyzed. I just couldn't believe what I had heard. I was probably 10 or 15 seconds from the entrance of the cave. If I really would have hustled it, I could have gotten out. But I didn't in the dream.
Because you were in shock.
I hung there in shock, just like so many people are. And all of a sudden, this earthquake hit, and huge, multiple thousand-pound boulders came down and covered the entrance. And at that point, I knew I was history. I was toast, that there was no turning back. There was no getting out of this deep water cave. And my oxygen supply was limited. I knew I only had a little bit left. And if I ever wanted to even try to go, I'd have to go forward into that dark hole. It was the only way to go to try to get out of the cave.
You know, what's interesting is that we're not talking about just any ally. We're talking about Israel, that is God's people, that he very clearly stated that if you bless Israel, I will bless you. If you curse Israel, I will curse you. And I've gone back and done a little bit of studying into the decision that was made that created Israel as a nation. And President Roosevelt, when this was first coming up on a vote with the United Nations, he was the president at the time, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he was against Israel becoming a nation. And because he had ties with Saudi Arabia and some other things, he was not going to vote yes to create Israel, the people, the Jewish people, a nation. And he died within 2 weeks of that decision that he was not going to do that.
Wow.
And then we had Truman that became the president, and he was friendly toward Israel, and he voted yes. And it's very interesting when you go back and you look at history, this is about the time that the United States began its dominance. We had the agreement with the currency that the United States, the currency of the U.S. dollar, would be the world trade dollar. It would be the it would be traded all over the world. And this brought a great blessing upon America. And so is there a connection between this blessing that America has enjoyed since World War II as just connection with Israel being blessed and and our vote was what created Israel as a nation? So, because it could have gone either way.
Right.
We could have said no and Israel wouldn't be a nation, but we said yes. So what if just that very one decision to curse Israel, in a sense, is expose them to their enemy and create a deal, because they weren't even at the table. They were not even allowed to place the table in this negotiations. And this is why Netanyahu came to America to appeal to the American people, please, please save us from Haman. He
yes.
wants to take us to the gallows.
That's right. That's right. And not only that, but as you said, in history, we look back in history and we see where the United States made a movement towards Israel to bless them, and we were blessed beyond any nation, and we have grown and grown, and we're living in the blessings of that decision clear back when Israel was created as a nation.
That's right.
But if you will look, and all you got to do is Google this, there's either 11 or 12 different instances where, starting in about 1995, where our presidents began making decisions against Israel under political pressure from their enemies.
I think it was like 91 with George Bush.
That's right. So the first one, I think,
91.
Right in there where George Bush, he makes a statement against Israel, and within 24 hours, the superstorm that we call the perfect storm, they made the movie after, wiped his house out on the beach and on the East Coast. We've gone on and on. You can count all the times that we spoke out against Israel, and immediately a warning from God came. I remember one of the last great ones. I have friends in Joplin, Missouri. Within 24 hours of President Obama speaking out against Israel, here came the tornadoes ripping through and cut the city in half in Joplin, killed so many people and wiped the whole town out within 24 hours. And what really bothers me, Andrew, on this one, is that we have declared war against Israel, and we have struck a deal with Iran from the executive branch, and there's silence in heaven. There has been no warning. There's been nothing, no exclamation point from God. There's silence. And that typically means God is not going to offer any further warnings. Just like he did with Egypt. There were 12 sentences, warnings placed on Pharaoh, and the 12th one was that firstborn, when the firstborn died, which finally caused the great collapse of Egypt and the people to come out. But here we have 11 or 12 of these warnings, Andrew, and now there's silence in heaven. The ultimate act against Israel, and there's no little warning judgment coming back. That tells me that God is rearing back, and he's not giving any more warnings to this country.
Well, one thing I have been watching all through the latter part of the winter months is all these cold fronts that were coming through and all the blizzards that were hitting the Northeast. And it's just one wave after another. I think some weeks there was like four different snow storms, or just it's crazy numbers. And, of course, the snow was piling up well over 100 inches in Boston and some of these places that hadn't seen this kind of snow in forever. And it seems like everything, all these cold fronts were coming with all these blizzards and amounts of snow were coming in waves until Netanyahu made his speech.
Yes.
Just crying out to the American people to please protect us. We're not involved in this negotiations. It's almost like Mordecai goes to Esther to appeal to their king. But did anybody appeal to the king? Did anybody go protest in front of Washington or people on the streets, please protect Israel? I mean, not a thing was said. And so I'm just wondering if the warnings were there up to that point in time when the real warning, verbal warning, was come from Netanyahu, and nothing was done. And then what? It was the Feast of Purim. Yes. You know, that was very interesting that all this happened in relationship to the celebration for Esther saving her people. And yet there was no cry out from Esther of America to save the Jewish people. And then, of course, then just before the last blood moon that happened on Passover here just the other day, you know, now we have the deal supposedly set, you know.
Right, and Iran is dancing in the streets. Hezbollah and the other terrorist groups are saying thank you, President Obama, for arming our greatest terrorist nation to continue the act of terror in the world. So they have their opinion of what this deal means, and we remain silent on this. And I was thinking also, we're watching the agricultural peace in the United States, and we're watching California very closely. In the middle of all these warnings, we've got California is turning back into a desert. They're losing their water. Last week, their governor just put out a 25% mandatory reduction. You could be fined $500 if you take a shower that's too long, according to the government right now. And can you imagine this? I just saw the news just came out today, and the farmer said, we just watered our crops for the last time this year.
Wow.
And it's only April. And so this nation is suffering. And
wow.
I believe that we need to really take note.
Yes.
Because God is no longer issuing warnings.
Well, this is the message right now, is that will the people cry out and repent? Will they cry out to God, God, forgive us? Will there be a message across the land that will go out and say, Lord, we're falling on our face? I mean, they repented in sackcloth and ashes in the days of Jonah.
Yeah.
But is there any sort of repentance, any signs of repentance in America? But I know this, that if we will cry out with all of our heart and ask God to forgive us, that He said He would forgive us. So that's what I say. That's what I just encourage everyone listening, is just cry out to God right now and ask God to forgive our nation. Thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website, strengthforthejourney.com.